Let me read this. You might be familiar with it, I think. Take thee, Remember that? That very bagwan moment, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. And these days, I don't know about just in Lagos, they've rewritten that part. It's for richer, for richer. Yeah. In sickness and in health is completely removed. To love and to cherish till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance. Does it sound familiar? Yeah. Did you make it? Did you assent to that statement? Insert your name. You inserted your name in the blank space, right? Yeah. And the church said a loud amen, right? How did it feel? Just think back. Felt good, didn't it? It was scary. That sickness and in health. You wish it wasn't there, right? Yeah, I can imagine. But that was the moment, isn't it? That was the moment we put our seal on the dotted line. And like we saw earlier on, for many of us, it was just one of those rites of passage, right? You are born, you do this, tick the box. But today we are hearing that when you said I do, when you repeated this statement after the pastor or whoever was officiating, you are making a vow. A vow to none other than who? God. And one of the fine prints of that vow is that you were submitting to that man that you had accepted to be your wedded husband. You were vowing to God that you will submit to his leadership. Many times when the subject of submission comes up, it's usually something that causes many women to squirm, doesn't it? Why is that so? Why is the subject of wife submit to your husband something that causes her heart to miss a beat or two? Yes.
Probably because of what they say in the environment. Not really understand what submission is.
Okay.
They think submission is being put under, being shouted at, being seen but not heard. So we do not really understand what submission, why submission is. We just see the things that happen to our mother.
And it's scary, right? And you still went ahead to say, I do. Is it something similar you wanted to say? Sounds more like slavery, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. But you had it, right? If you want to retain your right, don't get married. Yeah.
We are answering your questions, right? Mm. Not that we are experiencing that.
No. You're answering my question. Yes. So we'll look at that because, the interesting thing is that it's usually good to know what you're getting into. And even if you didn't know, or even if you're not experiencing it, so that you, when the thing you fear starts happening, which we don't pray it should, you will know what to do, right? Yeah. So we are going to talk about this thing about submission, and then see what God says about it. Because at the end of the day, it's what God says that matters, isn't it? It's not what we think, it's not how we feel. It's not what we have seen around the society, because it is what God says, because we are people of the book, isn't it? Why have you ever wondered why the first thing God says in Ephesians 5:22, the first thing he says to the wife is submit? Why was this so important that wives needed to hear that? First Corinthians 11:3-9 gives us an idea of why it's important. You know, you have said, yeah, we didn't know some of the time, that's why it's scary. Yeah. And in 1 Corinthians 11:3-9 says, let's read it, and then we'll just explore that a bit. Now I want you to know that Christ is the head of all men, and a man is the head of a woman. Verse 7. Men were created to be like God and to bring honor to God. Verse 8. It was the woman who was made from man, and not man who was made from a woman. Verse 9. He wasn't created for her, she was created for him. We have established earlier on that some of these needs are legitimate needs, right? So you see why one of the biggest causes of quarrels, let me use the word, or tension in a marriage is when the man senses a lack of submission from his wife. And you wonder, why is this such a big deal for him? God created him to be the head. Men were created to represent God. That's what verse 7 says. Woman was created for man. Now that doesn't sound nice, does it? No, it doesn't sound nice, but that's what God says. So God created man with a need to lead. For him to lead presupposes that there is somebody to be led, right? Or there is somebody following him. And for a married man, if no one else is ready to follow him, his wife will be the person he will want to lead, or he has to lead. And that doesn't mean, as we see, it's a God-given need. It's a God-given responsibility. So we can't say, my husband is being immature. Because that's the way God made it. Can we understand it? Does it make sense? It's difficult to make sense of it, isn't it? But that's the way it is. So you can see why the Ephesians 5:22-24 starts with, for wives, this means submit to your husbands. You may have read that passage so many times before, but have you stopped to, you know, examine some of the key points, some of the key words or clauses or phrases in that passage? Let's do some of that now, quickly. So we see the first thing it says, wives, submit to your husbands. As to who? One translation says, as they do to the Lord. So the way you submit to God is the way God is asking the wives to submit to their husbands. Some other translation uses, instead of submit, it says, be subject to. I'm sure that's the type that makes it even more scary, isn't it? Be in subjection to. Another translation says, place yourself under your husband, under your husband's authority, as you have placed yourself under the Lord's authority. Heavy stuff, isn't it? If your submission to the Lord will be gauged by how you are submitting to God, your husband, where does that leave you? Both in the attitude with which you are doing it and in the actions with which you are doing it. The passage goes on to describe or define what that submission should be. Didn't leave it to us to define. Because if he left it to us to define, everybody would define it the way it will suit them. God himself goes on to define what that submission should look like. And he says, as the church submits to Christ. So it's not left for you to decide. It's not left for your culture to decide. It's not left for your mother or your father or your pastor or your particular denomination to decide what that submit means. God himself beats us to it to save us from all confusion and gives us what he means as the church submits to Christ. That's how the wife is to submit to her husband. It didn't stop there. Also spells out the scope of that submission. In verse 33, verse 24, it says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. In what way? In everything. So we have the definition and we have the scope. In everything. What does everything mean? Everything. Is God being cruel? Did he not know that some men would take advantage of this? He did, didn't he? And yet he said he wrote it down. He had it written down in black and white. Where does that leave us? It's a command, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a command. A command given by God himself. So, the question continues to be, if God clearly spelled out what and how the wife should submit, why do we find it difficult? Why do we struggle with it? And Colossians 3:18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Again, another scope. The other one says, as is fitting to the Lord. This one says, no, the other one says, as unto the Lord. This one says, as is fitting in the Lord. One translation says, as is fitting to those who belong to the Lord. So, Essentially, he wants you to look, he wants our submission to be different, right, from the submission of the people of the world. So he doesn't want the world to be the ones to define what submission means to us. He wants us to set the standard of submission for the world. Because, you know, it just reminds you of what Jesus said to the Jews in Matthew 5. He said, if your righteousness might exceed that of the Pharisees. But is that the case you find in the church? Is the church setting the standard, or the world is setting the standard for us? We finished from a similar seminar in Lagos yesterday morning, and when we were discussing this, during the Q&A, somebody asked a question around this subject. I said, what it simply means is that if your husband says, stay at home, you stay at home. You may not like it, right? You do it because he said so, and God gave him authority to demand that. If a Christian wife's submission does not exceed that of the non-Christians, then Satan has defeated us, hasn't he? It's funny, some people have tried to define submission as different from obedience. Is that possible? Can you say, I submit to you, but I won't do what you say? Is it, does that make sense? Yeah, but that's what they've tried to do. But yet, when it comes to their children, they won't apply that definition. Because if you say submission is separate from obedience, then your children can submit to you but not obey you. Your household can submit to you and not do what you say, right? Yeah. So submission without obedience is no submission at all. First Peter 3:1-2. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband. At least God is narrowing it down, isn't he? He's not saying submit to everybody, he says to your own husband. So imagine what it would have been like if you were to submit to every man. Now that's to be slavery. That was what free slavery will be. But this one says to your own husband. And what makes it nice is that you are the one who chose the guy, isn't it? Especially for us, modern day people. The guy proposes, we say yes, not like before where our father comes and says, this is the person you marry, and you say, yes, Papa. And the ceremony is conducted and you are escorted to the man's house. So wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So God, you see, anticipates. Well, that's why he is God. That there will be some men who will not behave themselves. So answers the question, what if my husband is a rascal? God says what? What did God say we should do? Submit, so that through our good behavior, they may be won over. So God just simply pulls the carpet from under us so that we won't argue. But see, well, you don't know what kind of man he is. Doesn't care whether he's behaving himself or not. 1 Peter 3:5-6. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. What did they adorn themselves with? What? Yeah, they submitted themselves to their own husbands. And Sarah is an example who obeyed Abraham and called him master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. We said it was scary, right? God knew it would be scary. So we go back to see what the holy men, women of old did. And we find that in that he reminds us that we are in a warfare. So we see how God, knowing that the culture, some of our cultures can be brutal towards women. And one of my friend's sister is married to an Igbo guy. I didn't say Igbo. I said Igbo to emphasize he calls himself. And so if she's serving him his food, she has to kneel down to hold the wash basin he eats with his fingers. Yeah. This is in Lagos, so it's not in the village. Because that's how Igbo women treated their husbands back in the village when he was growing up. I think he likes it. And you know of the cultures where should anything happen to the man's relations will come and empty the house and leave the woman and the children. Yes, stranded. I'm sure those are some of the things when you hear them, makes it scary for a woman to submit to her husband the way God wants them to. And yet God knew there will be those cultures, right? He knew there will be those cultures. He knew that there will be some men who will take their wives for granted. He knew that there will be some men who will not behave themselves. And yet he says, submit to your own husband. In 1 Peter chapter 2, sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3, when you read 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, it's interesting the way that chapter starts. It says, wives, in the same way, for you to say in the same way, what was he referring to? Must have been referring to some conversations that had taken place earlier. And if you flip back to chapter 2, you find that he reminds us, if you flip back to chapter 2 from verse 11, he reminds us that we are in a warfare of the mind and soul. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and see why this matter of submission is not something that we can follow by our feelings and emotions, or follow by what our culture is saying, or what the modern day in Lagos nowadays, Lagos state government has taken the issue of domestic violence very seriously. So the easiest way for any rascal girl to bring her husband to his senses is to threaten to report him to the police. If a wife reports her husband to the police, in most police stations in Lagos, there's a special desk for domestic violence. Her husband will be locked up immediately. That one, no, it's the kind of thing that no amount of bribe will get you out. So many girls are using it to bring their husbands to their senses. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, it starts in verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and aliens, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And the husband is one of such authorities, isn't it? Whether to the emperor or to the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him. Okay, let's fast forward. For it is God's will, verse 15, that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. You know, that's another thing that is happening a lot these days, especially among the sophisticated preachers. They tell you that we are all equal in the sight of God, isn't it? And that's true, isn't it? Yeah, but First Peter, the Holy Spirit is telling us here that we shouldn't use our freedom to cover up evil. Remember, it's the similar thing when the Pharisees took Jesus up on this matter of marriage in Matthew 19. And they said, but Moses gave us the right to divorce our wives. He said, yes, Moses did that because your hearts were evil. And it's the same thing that First Peter is pointing us to, that when we want to use our freedom to cover up evil, the freedom that we are equal in before God, he created them male and female, we can use that to disobey God and think we are smart. And then he goes on to point us to Christ's example. Says in verse 19, for it is commendable for someone to bear up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Remember, it's mentioned that in 1 Peter 3, we talk about the holy women of old who placed their hope in God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? And in verse 21 it says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And describes Christ, his innocence, his sinlessness, and all the insults he had to endure. And that's why we can claim 1 Peter 2:24, right? By his stripes we are healed. And it's the same stripe, he said, therefore, in the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Reminds me of Hebrews 12:3. Is it 12:3 or 12:4? It says, you have not yet endured to the point of shedding blood. Hebrews 12 verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. So, in the same way, wives are called by God to submit to their husbands. If you are looking at how, it says, look at Jesus Christ as our example. And then in chapter 3, he goes on to point to Sarah and those other holy women. We think about Esther and all those other holy women who were subject to their husbands to the point that Esther and Sarah called her husband master. And it shows us what helped Sarah and those holy women to submit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he talked about their purity, talked about the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So again, we ask the question, if you struggle to submit to your husband, is that a pointer to how much faith we have in God's faithfulness? Does that say something about how much faith we have in God's faithfulness? If I struggle to submit to my husband, I'm giving this seminar on my wife's behalf. She couldn't come because her children are writing NECO, so somebody needed to be home to give them the support. So don't feel, oh, it's all right for you to say because you're a man. But thankfully, I'm not saying what I think. I'm just reading scriptures and showing us what God says about the whole matter. Faith in itself is a risky venture, isn't it? When you say I do to a man, you know, it's like buying an investment. When you buy an investment, you are buying the future prospects of the investment. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, do you? Yeah, you just look at it and say, ah. But in this case, it's even better than buying an investment because you are placing your hope in God, who knows tomorrow, yeah? And who has called you to meet this covenant need for your husband on his behalf and for his sake. When you feel this is too hard or too difficult and you can't do it, and you, as we saw, our husbands were created with this need, this need to lead, and you feel you can't do it, he might take you for granted, which is true. Who do you want to do it? When I told some young wives that the best way to really, 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 really infuriate your husband is to show signs that you're struggling to submit to him. You know, as little or as insignificant as any man may be, in his home he's king, isn't it? Can you imagine what it is like for a king to have a dissident, so putting it in such a raw manner, to have a dissident right under his roof? It has nothing to do with his spirituality. In fact, it has everything to do with his spirituality, because that's what God has created him for. If a wife doesn't submit to her husband, who else should? Are you happy when, after church service, you're out gisting and you see some other sister really hanging on to every word your husband? Are you happy? Does it make you feel good? How lucky I am that all these sisters like my husband. When we were getting married, I don't know, my wife saw some of these things and realized that, Kai, this marriage business is serious business. made up her mind that she can't. You know, some people can do, can juggle many things. She made up her mind that I better give this thing all my attention, because it's serious business, isn't it? Marriage is hard work. If you didn't know, it's fun, it's enjoyable. I don't want to take that away, but it's a lot of work. Just as any good thing requires work, right? So this nice place we are living in, somebody took pains to design it, and another team came and carefully followed the design and built it, and here we are. They worked hard. You walk in here, you see the lawns are nicely trimmed, somebody worked hard. So you can admire, you want to take pictures. Good things are bettered by hard work. Especially marriage. And when you are young is the time to learn, begin to learn this submission. Because if you form the wrong habits, becomes more difficult to unlearn them at old age, isn't it? Yep. Becomes more difficult to unlearn them. So as we round up, I'd like you to ask yourself. Now it's true you may not be struggling in this whole area of submission, but ask yourself, what new thing have I learned about this whole business of wife submitting to her husband this evening? If you have your application worksheet, maybe pull it out and write it there. What new thing have I learned about submitting to my husband? You don't have a worksheet. Yeah. Just take the time and fill it in so you don't forget. Maybe something new, it may be a clarification, it may be a reminder of something you've always known about, some reminder of a truth you've always known about submission that is coming back to mind at this time. Just write it down. Doesn't have to be a long sentence, maybe just a comment, a clause, a phrase. What would you need to be in order to be the kind of submissive wife God is talking about in these passages that we have read? Yes, us.
You.
Yes. So that's why I rephrased it. What is something new I have learned this evening? Yes. So what does God want me to know? What does God want me to be? Another way to look at it is, what do I need to become to be more submissive? Because, you know, 2 Peter talks about our growing in certain virtues and increasing measure. Marriage is a lifelong thing. So we will never, this need to submit to our spouses will never expire. I saw a picture the other day of Jimmy Carter and his wife. I can't remember now. How many years of marriage were they celebrating? 75 years, right? Yeah. crisis carried 75 years. So imagine practicing submission for 75 years. Especially if you're praying for long life. Just bear in mind that that's part of what you're praying for. So what does God want me to be? What do I need to be? To be better, to be a better submissive wife. Have you written that down? What is something I need to start doing to put to practice this thing that I have learned? Maybe just one thing that you need to start doing. One last assignment. When you get back, if you see in your work in the schedule, there is something there, couple's time, right? Yeah, that's you and your husband. So make it share with him these things you have written down, so that he can help hold you accountable. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
How do you pronounce
Yes.
So how do you pronounce it? Maybe a woman that something that is not fitting to the Lord and still not to serve.
So if your husband is asking you to do something that is sinful, is that the question you're asking? Well, the Bible has said, as unto the Lord and as is fitting to the Lord. I think that's a different ball game when our husbands ask us to do something sinful, something illegal. But I don't know how many people have that reality. So I think it'd be good to just. Frankly, I'm not sure I know what to tell them. It's a tough one. I'm not sure I know what to tell them. Yeah. There are many bad things happening out there, I can admit. Sadly, we can't answer every question people may have. But when we look at this, is for me what when I read, especially this Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, it's specific what God wants the wife to do and what God wants the husband to do. So what I usually do is help the person focus on what he or she needs to do, and trust God with the rest. Yeah, frankly, I know there are many tough situations people are passing through out there. Okay, no, there is going to be question and answer, not today. Okay, you want to rest, add, comment?
Yes. Something picky to the Lord. One says that we should learn from what the Spirit has
learned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the point, if I have to take care of
life,
the line is
not. No, it's not.
But I've come to learn something.
No, I'm not saying stay at home when she should be at home. That you shouldn't work in the first place. That's what I meant. Not that, oh, you have a job somewhere and says today, oh, no going to work. No, that's not what I meant. Yeah. Well, yeah, if you stay at home, it's, you get fired. So maybe that's his objective.